The views expressed on the Cannabis 101 show, hosts and their guests are their own and shall not be construed in any way as advice from Unity Radio 97.9 FM and its parent organization, Pride Productions, Inc. Personal perspectives may be expressed by the host or guests. Individuals with health problems should always consult their health care provider for professional medical advice, medications, or treatments. Unity Radio 97.9 FM and its parent organization, Pride Productions, Inc., makes no recommendations or endorsements for services or products mentioned on air or on this website.
You're here on Cannabis 101.
Educate your mind.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101.
What's the time?
Elevate your mind.
What's the time? Cannabis 101. What's the time?
Cannabinoid time.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101.
What's the time?
It's terpene time.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101.
We're doing it. Okay. And we're here. Cannabis 101. All right. And we're going to have a lot of fun today.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. And thank you for being here. Today, we have two incredible guests. And again, our amazing co-host, Jennifer Gaskin. Yeah. So you will be hearing today from legendary sportscaster Bob LaBelle.
Jennifer, I'm spending the whole time. I know Lauren. Thank you, Lauren. Just for a second. I'm spending my whole time trying to get a background like you have on. Whole virtual background group thing here, but I can't. So I spend the whole time preparing for the show trying to find this background. So I'm happy to be here, Lauren, and I'll figure it out before we're done. Sweet. You got any tips, Jennifer? Just tell me where to put the arrow.
No problem.
I love that.
I mean, seriously, go for it.
Listen, I grew up watching you on the news.
Come on, you must have been in kindergarten.
No, I was still in my mother's belly. I'm only 21.
Exactly. That makes sense. That makes all the sense.
I love it.
Thanks. I'm glad to hear that. Let me shut the phone up. Okay.
Yes, this is awesome. We have Bob Lovell on the phone.
Then we also have famous lobbyist and board member of MRCC, Saskia Van James.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome.
The crowd goes wild.
Yes.
Exactly. Crowd's going
wild. Have fun today.
We are.
We always have fun here.
Exactly.
I don't have my blunt rolled, so I might have to roll something.
Oh, man. Definitely roll it and smoke before.
What is this without something rolled already, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Got to be ready to go.
Exactly.
The next generation is to be able to share it on a Zoom.
Oh, Bob. Next level.
Somebody at some point is going to figure out how to do that.
Exactly.
Right. How do we smoke virtually?
Right. Yeah. I mean, even doing this at one time was impossible to even imagine. So now,
I want to be on the boat.
A man that had a green screen back then.
I want to be on the boat behind Jen's background.
See that? Yeah, I know that.
They need to open the borders so that I can go home. I'm with you. I want to be on it too.
You know, absolutely. It's funny today, right? Because usually, you know, I walk here from the store to get my mind right while I'm walking over here. I walked out of my store and my face froze. So I hopped in the car and drove here for the first time.
Yeah.
It's absolutely super cold today.
Oh, it's cold.
Mm-hmm. And actually, so wait.
I haven't seen anything yet.
Okay. I'm just telling you haven't seen anything yet, Jimmy.
Oh man.
This is just, you know, welcome.
Yeah, this is the beginning.
You're about to really get into it. This is just the start.
Wait till it's like 2 degrees and it's icy.
Oh my God.
Wait
till January hits.
I know. Yep. I'm already wearing long johns and everything, sweats and everything underneath.
Oh, well, you're going to have to invest in some other
warmers or something.
Because if you're already in long johns, honey.
Yeah, I'm already in long johns.
You better go look for a 1994 Sterling.
Dead.
You know them ones that was so heavy, like you had to walk around.
Yeah,
with your Sherlin on.
Last winter, I was wearing long johns and sweats.
Guys, so we have a special call in right now. I'm not sure who it's for, but are you guys ready to answer some questions?
Uh-oh, let's see who's calling.
All right, let's take it. Hi, caller. How's it going? And may I ask who's calling?
Yeah, this is Tom Foley from the Mass Military Support Foundation.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for calling in today.
Hey, Tom.
Hello.
Now, Tom.
How are you? You're
doing a lot of good here in the city of Worcester, right here on 90 Harding Street on the lot next door.
Well, we're trying. We actually gave out about close to 400 meals today.
Wow. That's amazing.
Wow. Incredible.
Yeah. So this is through the USDA. It's for anyone. We're going to be at this location for the next five Wednesdays, right up until December 23rd, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you can get on the Military Support Foundation and register. But it also gives you other information through all these other places where we're giving out food. Okay. So this is for a bunch of food for two people for, you know, it could be a week, 14 days. It includes veterans. The program's going to actually go on till the end of the year. But the program we're running here in Central Mass is till December 23rd.
Nice.
Wow, that's amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Tom,
yeah, thank you so much for
address one more time.
Not 90 Harding.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Lauren had told me about
that. Yeah. Lauren came over this morning and all right, take care. Thanks. All right.
Thank you.
Lauren came over this morning and did a little program with us. I enjoyed speaking with her.
Yeah, that's great.
Cool. Well,
Lauren can get your attention, that's for sure.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. And you guys are doing so much good in the community, so thank you. And it was an honor to be with you guys, and definitely be back next week.
Yeah, make sure, people, 90 Harding Street, every Wednesday until Christmas, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And I thought it was pretty impressive. They're getting over 40,000 pounds of food every single day. So
and 90 Harding Street is across from Compass Tavern, in case you guys don't know.
Right behind it. It's right behind it.
Yes.
But let me just give a quick shout out. So if you want to get on the Mass Military Support Foundation, it's massmilitarysupportfoundation.org, and you just register. And that just lets us know how many meals we got to bring.
Sweet.
Okay. So, we always have a little lot.
Once again,
today was great.
Once again, can you say the website again for everyone?
Sure. It's Matt.
MassMilitarySupportFoundation.org, and we will share that on the Unity page and have updates before so everyone in the community can know. So thank you so much, Tom. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, we need more people like Tom in this world, you know, taking their time off, feeding it.
We can talk about all the tragedy. I mean, some people, joke about COVID and the virus and talk about the masks, and it never gets any deeper than that. But it goes a lot deeper when you get to the level Tom's dealing with and giving out food.
Right.
I mean, this is a national tragedy.
Wow.
It's not just people sick. This is a whole, economic tragedy that is just, filtered down. And you really see when he's handing out food like that. I mean, come on.
Right.
Exactly.
Who are these people?
We all have to recognize that when you can hand out 400 meals on a Wednesday afternoon.
God, Jennifer, that's right.
Who are these guys?
Seriously.
I mean, seriously, on a Wednesday afternoon, it has nothing to do with any holidays or anything else.
Exactly, just a regular Wednesday afternoon.
It's like, it really gives you perspective on
that.
Really, if you attack this from the bottom up instead of the top down, you can see how widespread it is at the bottom. It's really tough.
It still shows that there's good people still alive, working in this community and everything.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, even Jimmy said when he got on about how he walked, he ended up driving instead of walking because it was so cold.
So cold.
You think about how cold it is. It's the middle of the week. There's no holidays around it. And they handed out 400 meals.
Wow.
And there were tons of volunteers there, too, from surrounding towns, which were just, in the cold, getting their mittens on and packing up and bringing out all the food. It was amazing to be there and see it. So yeah,
that's great.
There's a lot of great going on here.
Absolutely.
You know, and then you, the, on top of it, it's veteran, you know, it's a veteran organization. You know, and, you know, we're talking about cannabis, but if you think about all the veterans with PTSD and anxiety and depression and everything that comes with, you know, being in that environment, going to war, et cetera, and now they're struggling with food instability.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and these are the people who went out and fought for us all to have freedom, fought for Donald Trump to be able to be president, you know, as well as, you know, Joe Biden and Obama and et cetera. And now they have to stand in line to get donations of food. Like, we should all be pretty ashamed.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you guys do go on massmilitarysupportfoundation.org, I haven't been on it yet because I just went there, but they have tons of different resources for veterans that you would be so surprised to actually know that all these resources are here. And it's just, I mean, the lack of information and communication of it. So check it out, guys. Like, truly check it out. Tell your veterans, like, we have to give more appreciation to those veterans too. So I think this is a great little wake up call and a thank you. And again, Jennifer, again, gratitude to you with the 35-day gratitude challenge, because I've been just living in gratitude, and thank you. I love it.
No, yeah. You know, especially in 2020, we have to remind ourselves that we have to be grateful for things, because, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but this year has been particularly, you know, challenging for a number of reasons. So, you know, we just have to, you know, constantly remind ourselves that there's always, you know, something to be grateful. And I mean, frankly, today, I think my grateful thing is that I'm grateful that, you know, I have food and I have the ability to feed myself and my family.
Absolutely.
Right now, I'm grateful that all you guys are on, and I'm grateful that Bob Lovell's on, and Saskia's on.
Yeah,
I'm glad I'm grateful this week that the mics are working.
We got it figured out and working and ready to go. Now we're going to go to a short break, but everyone, you've been listening to Cannabis 101 on Unity Radio 979 FM, Worcester's Community Connection. You can watch us on Facebook Live at MA, or stream us at WUTY979FM.org. And feel free to call in and join in the discussion at 508-471-5265.
Elevate your mind.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101.
What's the time?
Cannabinoid time.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101.
What's the time?
It's terpene time.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101.
What's the time?
It's time to have fun.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101.
What's the time?
Unity Radio. Worcester, we got you.
Unity Radio is streaming at WUTY979FM.org. We'd like to thank our listeners and supporters.
Sunshine Sign Company. Architectural fabricators, corporate communicators. For more information, visit sunshinesign.com. Central Mass Safety Council. To learn more, visit centralmasafety.org. And Trislin Design. Visit trislindesign.com.
Unity Radio, Worcester's Community Connection.
Join our team today. UPS is now hiring package handlers. You can earn extra money with a weekly paycheck at UPS. UPS seasonal package handlers work a convenient schedule Monday through Friday with weekends off. UPS package handlers can earn a $500 sign-on bonus, receive education assistance, and potentially secure a permanent position. UPS offers package handler hours that fit your lifestyle. Apply today at jobs-ups.com or call the UPS Worcester Employment Center at 508-751-6017. You can earn extra money now. Join the UPS team today.
Crispy, blazed, toasty, faded, lit. No matter what you call it, if you're high, you're too high to drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is Unity Radio 97.9 Worcester.
You're here on Cannabis 101.
Educate your mind.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101.
What's the time?
Elevate your mind.
And we're back to Cannabis 101. Like we said, we have two amazing guests today, Bob LaBelle and Saskia Van James, with our amazing co-host, Jennifer Gaskin. That goes wild.
They do it every time. Every time.
I feel like I should have been in on like a prep meeting. Like there should have been no time.
They do it every time.
I would join in.
That's what happens when you come on Cannabis 101.
Absolutely. That commercial, I don't think I ever heard that commercial. So if you're high.
Don't drive.
High to drive? Is that right?
If you're crispy. I know. As for me,
I like to smoke and then drive.
I actually quit smoking and driving from that commercial.
I think for me, I don't drive if I take edibles.
Edibles. But yeah. Smoking wise,
I'm probably a better driver when I smoke.
I pay attention and don't speed.
I've heard that before. Yeah.
Because usually I'm a speed.
Everybody's got a different reaction. Sometimes.
Right.
You know, sometimes if you even take some tinctures or sometimes if you smoke, everybody reacts differently. I can just remember smoking and then getting in a car and driving up the driveway and knowing this was a bad idea. And then having the intelligence and not. Having the wherewithal to turn around and not go out.
Exactly.
My mind.
How about Cheech and Chong when they were just smoking and they weren't going anywhere?
That's exactly why I don't mess with it because when I take edibles, I'm like, I call people like hippie high. Like I'm like 70s high.
Oh, you know, it just takes you past the place of no return, past the place of reasoning.
You cannot self-reason
or talk yourself into something. That mechanism goes away.
Right.
Exactly.
And like when you smoke and you get your adrenaline rush, like I think you're not stoned anymore. But when you eat edibles, like you're stoned regardless.
You can't. Right.
Exactly what you were saying, Bob. Like, I can't even tell if I'm going, what speed I'm going.
You don't know. You just don't, you know, the edibles. Because you don't know
what's going on. Am I going slow?
And the idea, Jennifer, is you shouldn't be going at all.
Right. Yeah. And that's exactly why I'm going to sit my butt down.
Just stop.
And watch SVU. And don't go nowhere.
It's not just about you. It's about everybody else on the road.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, seriously. Exactly.
I do think people that suffer from road rage need to smoke something before they get behind the wheel.
Absolutely. Calm them down.
It's not that serious. Especially being a bicyclist, like people really rush just to get to another light. And I cannot tell you how many times I've pulled up on people on a bike and watched them and then zoom past them because they're stuck in traffic. But they'll actually like hurt somebody on a bicycle and take their misplaced rage out on a bicyclist because they're running late somewhere. So people, if you are late, smoke something because nothing's going to change. When you get there.
So people
just can't be our imagination that things are so much worse when it comes to road rage now.
So
there's so much less toleration out there. Mm-hmm. Everybody hates everybody.
So I'm late. I smoke all the time.
Distinction, right? Like, are you high or are you just level? Because sometimes I just need to level.
No, that's
right?
You know how you say you get your mind right? That's
yeah,
what I mean.
Exactly. Like sometimes I'm just getting my mind right. So I'm not high.
Yeah.
Like I'm not intoxicated. I'm just
you're leveling yourself out.
Yeah. Right. I'm level.
So when you guys talk about
high.
When you guys talk about leveling, just for like people who are listening, right? Because that's really, I've been having conversations with consumers, right? Like about microdosing. Mm-hmm. And like, so to me, when I hear you guys talking about leveling versus being high, like there's a tone of like micro dosing being, but I don't know if that's really what you're saying. Like, you know, I might take like five puffs instead of smoking a whole blunt, or, you know what I'm saying? Is it a different or a different form that you use to
this,
level? Yeah, it's different. Exactly, it's Sasuke. So like, it's different. Like, for example,
go ahead, Jennifer.
I suffer from MS. So I have chronic fatigue, I have chronic pain, I have, you know, a number of whatever. So in the morning, I usually, well, before COVID, on my commute, I would usually vape, and I'd vape like a sativa.
Mm.
I needed to get enough energy from my mind to focus and be able to function at work because of the chronic fatigue. Now, sometimes if I'm in pain during the day, then I'll step away and vape, but I'm usually vaping like an indica or something to knock away the pain, or I might go downstairs and smoke a CBD, THC 1-to-1 something. But then I'm just trying to, like you said, kind of microdose and level myself out. Mm. Now, when we talk about, and this is literally like, I schedule my edible usage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like people say to me, oh, I want to meet with you. Can we meet at 5:30, 6 o'clock? No, we can't meet at 6 o'clock. Mm-mm. I take my edible at 6 o'clock for it to kick in at like 6:30, 6:45 for me to start relaxing and shutting my brain down so I could go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So I really have a schedule
self-care
that I follow so that I'm okay.
I love that.
Yeah.
Bob, what's your preferred method of cannabis use?
Well, I have some issues, pain issues, so I have some salve. I have a son who's a doctor in Vermont.
Nice.
And he sent me some things that I can salve, a combination of THC and CBD and its own special blend. And so I use that on my feet, and it's really good. Really does the job. Mm-hmm. And I probably spend more time with tinctures and trying to figure out that than the other stuff. But I'm not adverse to, you know, if it's a special occasion or somebody's offering something and I happen to feel like I'm in a safe place and don't have to get in a car and drive somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, I'd probably go that route. So it's pretty mellow. I'm not like really out there, but everybody's and micro dosing is really kind of, you got to really know what your own level is. You got to really
exactly
bring it. If you don't try it and do it and experiment with what it is, you're not going to find out what your own level is. I think just
exactly
a large number of people, no matter what age, don't think about those things. All they're interested in is getting high.
Right.
Or feeling really good,
right,
and not worrying about consequences. But everything does have consequences. So I guess that's an old age thing. These things, you tend to learn these things as you, everything's got consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'm saying. That's the regimen, Lauren. It's just kind of mellow. It's not earth shaking. It's not groundbreaking. I just take what I need for what I need it.
Right. That's what I do. Like I don't take edibles because I don't have anything against it. All my friends take edibles, but every time I take edibles, I'm pretty much lagging throughout the whole day. And I'm a fast paced person. I do so many things I can't get like that. So like all day, every day, like just to slow me down a little bit. I mean, I don't smoke indica. I smoke a sativa, so it keeps me up, but it also levels my mind where I'm kind of calm, not like thinking of 10 different things to do at once. So I could actually focus on doing one thing at a time. I guess it's like when people take Adderall. I don't like taking pills, so I just smoke trees. And all my life,
like I told you last week, my son diagnosed with ADHD. He's self-medicated.
That's what I do.
Like years.
Yo, that's what I do. Like when I travel anywhere in the country, I bring my own weed, so I know exactly what I'm smoking. So I'm not buying something and being tired when I don't want to be tired, or you know, things like that. And you know, I have the indica for late night when I go to sleep. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, smoke a couple blunts of that, go to sleep. But other than that, like all day, I just smoke because I'm used to it and I've been doing really well in life with it. So I've been self-medicating myself for a long time.
It's funny because my husband's been smoking. He'll probably tell you since he was like 10 and he's probably lying. and he when we went to Canada last year, went to Toronto, I had to go for work. So he tagged along to keep me company. And so while I was working, he's out, you know, exploring this legal cannabis world.
Right,
right,
so right, right.
He didn't believe me when I told him that it was legal in the country. So then he's going on Google and trying to make sure that, you know, I'm not telling him any, you know, lies. So then he's texting me at work and he's like, it says on Google that it's legal in Ontario. I'm like, yeah, because it's legal in the country. But anyway, so he goes downstairs in the hotel. Now, mind you, we're staying, you know, I'm traveling for work, so I'm going to charge you guys for a suite at the Marriott. So we're staying, you know, downtown Toronto at the Marriott, and he goes downstairs to the Starbucks, and he's like, and then he's texting me that the business guys in the suits are outside having a smoke break, but they're smoking weed. Jennifer, they're standing outside the hotel smoking. He's like, but everybody's smoking weed. Nobody's smoking a cigarette.
That's good.
That's like
horrible. Right? That's so he's cool. Like, this is crazy. And you know, he's going to track down a dispensary. So he Googles and he's trying to find this dispensary. So finally, he gets to a dispensary. And it's in like, it's a cafe one. So downstairs looks like Starbucks. And then you go upstairs and that's where, you know, all the weed is.
Right.
But they have, it's not like here. They have them in jars. They open it up. You can sniff it. They want, you know.
That's
it's not
cool. Like, that's cool. That's
right.
Cool.
It's not like here. And the selection is ridiculous. Nice. So he goes in and the bud tender, he's talking to the bud tender and he's like, so what are you looking for? And my husband's like, I don't like the Coach Lock stuff. I like the stuff that gives me energy. And they're like, okay, so you want a sativa, not an indica. He's like, yeah, whatever. Right? So they're just doing it. And then he says, a lady comes in and he says, Jennifer, she's dressed like you. She had on business suit, you know, the heels. She comes in with her briefcase. And he said, I was embarrassed because she walked up and she's like, I was like,
I love that.
Yeah. Girls, I love it. Women and the this and the that and the da 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 da. And
it's Christmas up in here.
You know what I'm saying? Running down her list, gets her package, throws it in her briefcase, and keeps it moving. And he's still trying to figure out what indica is sativa.
I love that. And love
that. Canada, for the fourth year in a row, ranks number one in the world for quality of life.
Wow. Well, they have cannabis, and they had it before us. So.
Fourth year in a row.
I was born in Mississauga, Ontario.
Ooh, cool.
The only reason I will not live in Canada is it's freezing.
Yeah, it's cold.
Very true. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, I feel like this year it was a running theme I saw on Twitter. Like, our poor neighbors upstairs, we must feel like the ghetto to them.
I am sure.
We're the ghetto.
They talk like, about us just like that.
America. Well, yeah, we're going to be right.
Check that out.
But we're going to be right back after this short break. Everyone, you've been listening to Cannabis 101 on Unity Radio 979 FM, Worcester's Community Connection. You can always watch us on Facebook Live at Unity Radio MA or stream us at WUTY979FM.org and feel free to call into the discussion and talk to Bob or Saskia at 508-471-5265.
What's the time? Cannabis 101. What's the time?
It's terpene time.
What's the time? Cannabis 101. What's the time?
It's time to have
fun. Unity Radio. Worcester, we gotcha.
Yeah.
Join our team today. UPS is now hiring package handlers. You can earn extra money with a weekly paycheck at UPS. UPS seasonal package handlers work a convenient weekly schedule Monday through Friday with weekends off. UPS package handlers can earn a $500 sign-on bonus, receive education assistance, and potentially secure a permanent position. UPS offers package handler hours that fit your lifestyle. Apply today at jobs-ups.com. or call the UPS Worcester Employment Center at 508-751-6017. You can earn extra money now. Join the UPS team today.
The United Way of Central Mass's Woman Initiative is presenting its first annual Stepping Up for Girls event. This is a week-long virtual celebration featuring the kickoff event on November 10th, where we are celebrating women's leadership and girls' empowerment. And then, November 11th, join us on Women's Initiative Facebook and Instagram page for Woman Leader Tributes. November 12th, there will be a meet and greet where you can hear directly from girls about their program experiences and how they are coping in the pandemic. We are wrapping up our celebration on November 13th with a Rise and Shine member session where we'll be giving you self-care tips, you'll learn how to give back with Women Initiative, and a chance to network. One mission, 4 days, limitless impact. To join us for the Stepping Up for Girls virtual event, register at give.classy.org/2020Stepping Up for Girls. I'll see you there.
Unity Radio is streaming at WUTY979FM.org. We'd like to thank our listeners and supporters.
Diamond Auto Group in Auburn. To learn more, visit choosediamond.com. The Worcester County Sheriff's Office and Worcester Railers Hockey. For more information, visit railershc.com.
Unity Radio, Worcester's community connection.
Crispy, blazed, toasty, faded, lit. No matter what you call it, if you're high, you're too high to drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Unity 97.9 FM, WUTY, Worcester.
You're here on Cannabis 101.
Educate your mind.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101.
What's the time?
Cannabis 101.
What's the time?
And we're back to Cannabis 101. Woo! So, we have some very special guests. Oh, I'm Jen. I can't hear Jen, though. I hear her talk. I see her talking. Oh, okay. All right. So, we can't hear yet for the talking yet, but let me just introduce our two guests that we have for the show today. Bob LaBelle, who is in the Massachusetts Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
The legendary sportcaster.
Mm-hmm. He's a guest lecturer.
I didn't know you were in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that
was.
He's in the...
And if you guys check out episode 19 of Cheers, you'll see customer number one, Bob LaBelle.
The fever pitch, Bob LaBelle.
Yep. And then also,
Bob, I can't believe you watched that Cheers episode.
Bob, you know I always do my homework.
Bob, you're a
on homework. That was way back. That was beyond homework.
So it's on Amazon Prime, folks. Oops. We just had it.
Really?
We just lost the thing, but that's okay. So, it's on Amazon Prime, episode 19 of Cheers. Check it out. First 2 minutes, you'll see Bob.
Absolutely.
It's a nice little puff.
Check it out.
I'll send you guys the link. I'll share
He's
it.
Like, I want to see myself.
It's classic.
I hate to look at myself, Jennifer. I hate to look at it.
I don't even like to hear myself, let alone see.
Yeah. I hear you. I get it. So it's all right. It's not a bad thing. I work with some people. I won't name them, but on the anchor desk in the set, at the minute the show is over, they go back and look at the tape and see the show. But I couldn't. No, I'm serious. And I can understand why. I think they just try to check their presentation and everything else. But I couldn't do it. I wanted, what's done is done, and I'm not getting it back. That was it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That was always been my philosophy. You know, card played is the way it goes. I just couldn't do it. But on the other hand, it can help you out, I guess, if you watch and say, well, I should have done that. I should have done that. But I'm sorry, not me.
No, that's good.
I don't know, but you did pretty great in life becoming the legendary sportcaster.
Exactly.
Accidents happen, Jimmy. It's okay.
I'm not a bad thing.
I'm embracing it, but I'm just saying accidents happen, so it's okay.
Well, Bob, you've worked at WBZ-TV for over 30 years, and you've been very vocal about your support for cannabis, and you were even advocating for that before 2016 for question 4, correct, right?
Yes, I was. I was on board with that because it just seemed like the smart, rational, getting on the right side of history thing to do. If you go back and do the homework about how it was all demonized and how it was all put into Schedule One and how the government just ridiculously put it there without any basis whatsoever. And if you go back and understand how, you know, random that was, it just, plus the, it worked. I'm just, that's not the other thing. The fact that.
Yeah. And so you have your own story too, where you were this, I mean, this saved your life from using opioids and you turned to cannabis.
Right. I remember having knee surgeries and I remember being on OxyContin and knowing like the, Jenna, it was like the pot thing, like driving with pot, knowing that I was getting hooked on OxyContin and knowing that I was going back in to get my prescription refilled, not because I needed it to take care of the pain. It's because I wanted it.
Wow.
And it, and I said, I got to stop. And I, you know, I did. Luckily it was early enough that it wasn't like a big crash or anything else, but it was scary. I mean, it wasn't that difficult.
Yeah.
To get on it. It was a wonder drug at the time. That was around 2004.
Yeah, remember the state police troopers were running into CVS's and robbing CVS's and Walgreens for the OxyContins. It was crazy.
Wow. That's deep.
Yeah.
State police
and everything were like running into CVS's, robbing them for OxyContins, all these people. So that's why now you have to order it and then they bring it into CVS like the next day so they don't hold it.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
But that's the thing, you know, when you think about addiction as a condition, as a medical condition, a medical condition, and you think about what happened in our communities with the crack,
right?
Right. So your body is asking for this drug. It's like being hungry,
of course. Think.
Starving for this drug.
Mm-hmm. See,
whatever you need to do, as crazy as it may be, like running up into CVS as a police officer, because your body needs it.
Yeah. No,
so, you know, all those people who were criminalized through the crack epidemic,
right,
failed, and now are, you know, forever dealing with, you know, these issues, these legal issues. You know, haven't been repaired. But now we see that the opioid epidemic is not in the quote unquote ghetto. We're seeing that people are getting addiction services and we're recognizing that it's a disease.
Right.
Et cetera. So
I don't want to interrupt your
venting. Go ahead.
I was about to hop on you, but I want to let the introductions finish. But we got to come back to that one, Jennifer.
Yeah,
we got to come back to that one before our intercession, because I do have some comments on that one as well too.
Particularly for
the Massachusetts budget.
No, go ahead. Go for it. We're talking about.
You have permission. You know, let's go.
We want to talk about it. You know, I've been looking at the paperwork and I've been following the money, you guys. And for our state in Massachusetts, you know, it's been 4 years. $0 have gone towards any community that's been disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs that's been identified as one of the towns by the Cannabis Control Commission. And this year, I looked at the 2020 that they're right now, you know, looking to approve, and that budget as well too. When it comes to even now, it's about like I believe it's like $150K on that line that they even have assigned to go towards substance abuse, which is lower than normal. But even those towns, when I looked at it, you guys, we're looking at like Franklin, Hoppington, you know, like just there is nothing.
Worcester, the second largest city in
New England.
Not on the list. Opioid issue?
No, not on the list.
And we get $0.
Wow.
Not zero.
Makes sense.
Wow.
Not going to be on the list. Not again or on 2021. So unless we start turning up and contacting our senators and telling them, hey, that cannabis revenue, that all that money that goes, it goes into the general fund and it also goes into the marijuana fund.
And just so you guys know, Saskia works as a bike mechanic at Broadway Bicycle in Cambridge, Mass. Currently the only Black woman working at a corporate bike shop in the entire state of Massachusetts. She also works as a lobbyist at Massachusetts Recreational Consumer Council and BIPOC founded, and communities that have been disproportionately impacted by war on drugs. MRCC also educates consumers on responsible consumption through decolonize the weed practices. Saskia experience with practicing intersectionally and working in cooperative brings alternative outlook into cannabis industry and issues facing today. So yeah, she's
those are a whole,
awesome.
Those are a whole lot of words.
There
you
is.
Have to read all of them. I
what was that? First black woman working in like what the heck?
I'm not the first, but I'm the only.
Only.
Yeah, old, what, 20. Why is that even a thing?
Say that about a lobbyist because right. We need more black women, you know, coming in. We're doing advocacy work, we're doing all of these things, but there's gatekeeping going
right.
on. And so I'm trying to like highlight, you know, I'm affiliated with these companies, these businesses, these organizations, and I want to put on for them so that you know where opportunity lies.
Mm-hmm. That's like, amazing.
What's the conversation Saskia, that you would have with young black women? What conversation would you have with young black women? In other words, they came to you, if you're sitting down and you're talking to a group of 20, you know, middle schoolers, young black women, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that you can, if you love to ride bikes and smoke weed, you can spend the rest of your life riding bikes and smoking weed. Not only can you can fix them. You don't need to ask nobody for help. Not only can you smoke it, you can grow it. And you can enter into the businesses based upon your skill. You need no man, no colonial institution of education to teach you. These are all false propagandists. All you need to do is practice. And that is at the roots of this country. You just need practice. You need an apprenticeship. You need right. skills. That's get back to we're seeing the collapse of this.
That's
country.
You know how you said that. You know, I was just talking to someone doing the meeting the other day, and we were talking about colleges and stuff. And a lot of people that do really well in the world and that own businesses didn't even finish college. They dropped out because they realized once you get out of college, you are like programmed to work for someone, a corporation. Mm-hmm. Not they don't teach you how to be your own boss.
To be an entrepreneur,
you have to do that yourself and learn, you know, by experiences, or if you're lucky, have your family teach you how to do that while you're growing up. But if you just go to school, you just get out, you're working for a big corporate place, and it's a daily routine what they tell you to do. You know, and we were just talking about that. Most of the guys that I know that are multimillionaires that I hang out with and stuff, they didn't even finish college. They dropped out because.
And not only that, but like you got to question where you're getting your education from, because we live in a country where education is used to provide misinformation.
Right.
And that's why we're having these conversations along race lines.
And you know,
our education system has failed on giving truthful education. It's always slanted to benefit.
I look at it.
But you know what is so crazy about that, right? Like, so when my kids started going into school and I, you know, started, you know, as a parent, you know, being present in the school and having those conversations with teachers, you know, with my daughter, she started school before she turned five. She started kindergarten at four. And so one of the arguments or discussions, let me not say arguments, discussions that I had to have with the school was that the school tried to tell me that she wasn't mature enough to advance. So they should keep her back so that she's on the same level with other students in the class.
No.
Now, first of all, anybody who has more than a 5-minute conversation with my daughter, Anne-Marie, will know that in no way, shape, or fashion is that child immature. And she's always been like that since she could talk.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, what I had to express to them is, number one, my family comes from the Caribbean. We start school at 2.5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right?
Talking about formal school, like you had to put on your uniform and walk by yourself, typically, or with your older sibling, who's at 2.5. When my husband arrived here from Trinidad and Tobago, him and his sister were promoted to the next grade because they were that far ahead in their education based on what they learned in the Caribbean.
Wow.
So you are not going to tell me that my child is too immature and cannot advance. My not be getting a tuition check from me in September because she will be going somewhere else.
I'm also a mom, and I have to, I agree with
you. Yeah, they do it all the time.
They do. I had my child.
They do it all the time.
I put them into a Montessori schooling. Mm-hmm. And so even at like daycare, 2 years old, 3 years old, you would say it was daycare, but this was schooling, right? And so the Montessori style, for anybody listening, the Montessori style of education is practical learning. What does that look like when you're 3 years old? It looks like there's pictures of how to fix your plate and you're counting at the same time.
Right.
So the pictures will have like five little grapes on it, two carrots, you know, three crackers, and the children are matching their plates mm-hmm. with the picture, and they're counting at the same time, and they're adding. By the time my child was 5 years old, they knew how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide.
Wow.
And so that's it right there.
I need to go to that school.
My son, Lewis, who's my co-owner of Empress and Bandit Greenery, he said to me the other day, like, Mommy, you messed me up, right? Because you and Dad taught me so much that by the time I got to school, I'm like, what are y'all teaching? Like, real, like, what am I going to start learning?
What am I doing? What am I
doing? I already know it. Like, what is this? I only, bring up that topic because it's literally in everything that we do. Mm-hmm. Race comes into it. It's so embedded into everything in our lives. That
absolutely. If you're a black child, you're extremely smart. We call them double special in Cambridge, right? Mm-hmm. Where you may have like a disorder. My child has ADHD.
Mm-hmm. All three of my children have ADHD.
And they scored extremely high in intelligence. Mm-hmm. So they're running circles around the teachers. They're bored because they already learned. They learned this knowledge when they was a child, and so they're nothing is stimulating in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
problematic. So they use it to act out, and that was my son. Like, and he's like my son and my daughter, sharp tongue, man. Like,
yeah,
to act out. So they would always get in trouble for like just basically checking their teachers, mm-hmm. like.
When are you gonna teach him how to smoke pot?
Well, my oldest son taught me how to smoke. I'm constantly calling him like, hey, how do I use this? Like, how do I use sugar? Like, what do I do with this? How do I? And then he's like, well, mommy, and then you take the torch. Whenever he brings the torch into the conversation, I'm like, I'm not doing whatever that right. is.
And I think after junior high school, when you're getting into high school, instead of just going to school, they should start teaching.
Right?
They start teaching you how to I think the school should teach you how to like do stuff cannabis. Towards your career. No, not just cannabis.
How about home economics? Did they take
like
that? When did they get out of school?
I didn't really learn a lot, but I partied a lot in college, and that's one thing that I want to do again. So, but it's weird. Like when I was, I'm thinking back, and I'm like, damn, I went to college and for all those years, and I just really had a good time.
You did, and
how much student debt do you have? How much debt do you have?
Smart, so my father told me how make sure I play sports. I got a scholarship.
Oh, well, see, then you don't have the same.
I don't have no debt, no
student school. Loan debt story.
No, I had a great time in college. Like it was an amazing experience. You know, you meet like lifetime friends that becomes someone and stuff. Like it's all the parties and just having a good time growing up.
I think we need to create alternative. Alternative places to build community besides colleges,
right?
Because not everybody has access
You're right.
to that experience,
You're
you know.
Right.
Yep.
And that's why in the cannabis industry, I'm like, no, this industry traditionally there was no college. You don't need a degree. You can learn how to grow without a degree. You can be an amazing grower without a degree. That is a scam. You know, like calling it out now. Do not make that industry norm where you're telling poor people they have to go get this degree in order to enter the industry. No, you need skills. You need a referral. You need a senior, you know, somebody that can recommend you that says, I know this person has skills. I've trained them. You need a reference, you know, and if you can do that, you're gravy. Like you should not have to sweat. I think that's a shortcut to try to enter.
Yeah, well, you got
to
look at the guy.
How about the fact that we've been doing it on the legacy market all along? Like, who the heck do you has been growing it and packaging and selling it to you for the?
Look at the guys.
And package weed. I've been doing that.
And that's what our high schoolers need to be told. You don't need to go to college to learn this.
Well,
you need,
right.
Like,
so the
Wu-Tang who don't have a scale in their house right now. I could get off this camera right now and go get you a scale. Like, so, come on now.
They didn't finish high school or anything. But right now, they're lecturing and they're giving lectures at all the colleges, even Harvard, Yale, Brown, Full Sail. You know, they hire the guys from the Wu-Tang Clan to go there and actually talk about their life and stuff. And they're getting paid good money doing that. And even GZA goes to Harvard every year, talks about all the space and all these things that he does scientifically. They didn't even graduate high school. They all dropped out.
Exactly. And I'm going to say this live on the radio, and hopefully my son's not listening, but my son is probably one of the smartest people I know. He didn't go to a 4-year college. I actually withdrew him from high school, and he has his GED. But I bet you he could talk science in circles.
Right.
Yeah.
Most of the people who are working in the cannabis industry right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was really privileged for my child. I live in Cambridge, and we have amazing programs with Harvard and MIT for children. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, I was able to get them into STEM and STEAM programs. And so they really played in the halls of MIT. Danced and ran across Harvard's yard. And that's normal for them, to the point now as a teenager, they're like, I'm not looking to apply to go there. I've already done their programs. I know I'm great at math. I know I'm great at science. Mm-hmm. So they've already skipped like a college mentality because they've already been exposed to that culture. And now they're thinking, okay, now I have this knowledge. How can I invest it and create a skill out of it? So that,
and not only that, Saskia, think about what you gave them in terms of, you know, just their life skills and being able to provide as experience. Like my son was saying to me the other day, he wants to go out and start looking for a new job. And so he's looking to, come into the cannabis space outside of, being a business owner with his mom. And so he was applying for some positions, and he's like, oh, well, they're asking for this and that. And I'm like, dude, that's why I sent you to that ExxonMobil science camp at Northeastern. That's why you went to MIT. That's why you did those programs, so that you can say, well, yes, I have a scientific background. I have worked in labs.
Right.
I worked at the lab in Northeastern, in the lab at MIT. And I give you a reference that's a professor.
That's right.
At Northeastern or MIT. And they're willing to reference me. And I don't even have a college degree.
That's all it comes down to. Yeah.
Now, great. Saskia.
For me, just so you guys know, like being a bike mechanic for me with weed, like I've always enjoyed smoking, but it got serious for me a couple of years ago. Just dealing right before Trump's, coming into office, my anxiety just went